to take them to again. But it's great time and privilege to stand in your presence. We stand, Lord, in all of you and your presence in this place. And as we come again this morning, humbling ourselves before you, to come to deliver a voice, receive the word today, we come in full confidence and understanding. The Lord, this word of the living God cannot be delivered and cannot be received as we ought, except you have mercy and help us. So we come to ask for fresh help. And now, in particular, Lord, I come to ask for a fresh outpouring of your mercy upon me. I take myself of every confidence I have in what I have prepared, what I know only, my confidence, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, to bring forth, Lord, out of the treasure of your word, things both older and new, the strife and treasure of the kingdom. The word will be a blessing to all who hear it, wherever they may hear it, all over the world, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, because you are not my time of strength, but at the point of the ready writer, you will make me a pure chance, Lord God. So that this word will flow from you through me, Lord, without any hindrance. It will not be a word from me, but a word from you through me to your people. And as we go forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, walk in the comfort and the love of the Spirit, so causing an eternal work to the Lord's in the hearts of everyone who hears it, myself included. So wherever this word goes in all the earth, your Spirit and your power will back it, causing men to be hearers as well as doers, and therefore be blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be taken to be conscious, having to be precise not to say anything unnecessary, to bring forth and out of the church of the world things both old and new. The Lord, as I speak, let your power and your presence and anointing fill the air, breaking every year, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills more humble and so submitted to your will, and also our emotions, Lord, to be controlled and conquered even more by the precious truth, the power of the Holy Spirit, especially love in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. I don't have the anointings of my Father that took upon me their mantles. And I ask for mercy, O God, to bring forth this word, to deliver it as they would, were they being precious, so that as I speak, this word would go forth as a river of life, a river of refreshment, bringing refreshment to all the world, but especially unto them. So as we hear, Lord, this word and drink of this word, to be satisfied for the travail of their soul. I thank you, Lord, because you do not lie to me. You are faithful to do and exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or can imagine. We thank you in Jesus' name. Others had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. We just said about that. As he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he could make it what is the tabernacle. According to the person that he had seen. Which also, our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, that's in Jehoshaphat actually, but yeah. He brought in with Jehoshaphat into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God laid out before the face of our fathers. Unto the days of David, verse 26, David who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. As David and so to David comes into David's name. Verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Verse 48, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hand laid all these things? You stiff necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That will not be a question to your things. And the Buddha of God, let's just back to this. So see it. And then another is the account of Israel's history, which typifies the account of the history of the church. And Stephen was talking about Israel's serial rejection of their leadership. And continuing this, he said, without learn from him that the powerful witness is contained the ark of the testimony represents the presence of God. And he's saying here that these things were all made by Moses according to a specific instant picture which God has shown Moses in the mountain, Mount Sinai. Moses spent 40 days twice. Turned around the place and went up and came down with it and he broke the tablet. At the end of the day, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights. Didn't actually spend 40 years. That was the second time, right? If you spend 40 days going out the second time, even if you didn't spend 40 days, that is not going to spend 40 days. Because you went so far for a long time. Tell them that people say, we don't know what to do on this day, this is that. We didn't know that spent a substantial amount of time to see both the law and the dimensions and the patterns of the sanctuary that was to contain the presence of God. There is one. Who is it? He was there with the Lord, not with anybody else, but with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant of temple and all the things of the Lord to him. It's amazing, you know? The first time he broke it, God said, yeah, it's one of these amazing things. He was having a truly picture now. He built out two tablets of stone, an 18-year-old man, and he climbed the mountain. And he spent that possibility to jump for me. Just to be the Lord. So that God could do it in the midst of his people. The Bible says there's only one way, not two, to build a tabernacle. Because if there's something to do God, you know, it cannot be done anywhere. It can be done anywhere. It can only be done according to the pattern. It's a precision piece. And it can only be done, spiritually speaking, under the covering of Moses' type of people, a father of apostolic and prophetic fathers, who have taken the time to ascend into the mountain to behold the face of God, and then stay there until they get the picture. Tell somebody. So you're not going to just spend an hour or two. You are there for days. Days and weeks and very days to get that picture. And it's only through following the instructions, these ones that behold God face to face, that we can now build that picture in our lives. Amen? God says it is impossible to build something. You can build a picture. You can even have lots of people come. People are doing it every day. Hello? Hello? We are all spiritual Jeroboam. We are building sanctuaries all over the place. Talking spiritually now, talking about present church, isn't it? There will be a physical entity. Be 90, 50, 100,000 people of the Torah. Reminds me of the page of Matthew chapter 7, where it says, you know, that, you know, somebody would build upon a rock and everything. There was both of them built. There was an edifice. There was that rock. And you know, because it was built on the rock, revelation of this pattern, it stood the test of time. Amen. The test of God will not be any place. There may be a place in these terrible arms to give us. I give it all. But it will not be the place of God. Amen. There are other things. I heard people saying, somebody was saying that in Hitler's meeting, today's day, he's going to revive us. There's an anointing here. He's going to lead a festival. What an anointing now. Hello? If you don't reach, well, I don't really have a lot of you give it to a rock concert. There's something in the air. It's there, but it's not God. Hello, somebody. For God to inhabit, the power of God to inhabit, there must be a building according to divine patterns. And many times, several times throughout the time, holy God, we don't buck up on the name of it. So see that I build according to God. See that I build according to God. See that I, that you build according to the pattern. Nothing was left to Moses' imagination. What God is going to do is specific. So that God won't do it. And that is so simple. Amen? The glory, the physical, tangible manifestation of the presence and power of God in man can see we only inhabit a people or a control of church because we're not building these people. Amen? But build according to this pattern. So the question is, what is this pattern that we must build upon? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, please. Tell us that. Ephesians 2, verse 18. Now, so for children, when you do a Lord Jesus Christ, those are acted by one Spirit coming through the Father. Next verse. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Next verse.
And I walk,
built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the true cornerstone. Listen, do you read the scripture? It says, built upon the bar, there is other. Jesus Himself is the true cornerstone, but you find many of the churches that are trying to build, the true cornerstone has already been removed. Imagine that you don't know what you're talking about. He's talking about the Christ life, the principles that govern the way the Lord Jesus Christ Himself builds. The Christ life, the true cornerstone. We're going to build a building with one stone that is used to anchor every other. That's what wants to let every move. So, if you're doing something, then you're going to say, keep going. There's no true cornerstone. There is no foundation laid according to the apostle of the apostle of the self, according to the true foundation stone. Amen? Let's go to verse 19, verse 21, if this, or go to verse 21. Thank you. In whom, that means Jesus Christ, in whom sound everything connected with Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Just all the building, and not just bring, it is very spooky. Each part in its own perspective, as well as your identified by leverage, every joint supplier, make us two pieces of the sun. And look, the treasure is growing. So, living a vibrant order, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord's breakfast, in whom we also are built up together for inheritance of God through the Spirit. I listen. Rather than approaching God in many ways, just seeing the cross, God, the very most of that is, if you want to be a teacher in most places, God is the prophet, building not on a traditional prophet and prophet, but upon a foundation of false prophet, false prophet. God says, the prophet that my life and my people love to have a church. There will be a resonance between the false prophet and the persons who are preaching the word, and the people want to hear more to Jesus. This is wrong there. Okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 7. Are we getting something else? And it says that this prayer of the witness, also our fathers that came out of God's in with your husband into the possession of the Gentiles. Now, what is the plan of God in the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness of Jesus Christ and bringing the children of Israel into the Holy Ghost? And I say, that presence, in spite of the Syrian persecution, in spite of all they did, to provoke God. God still brought them, that presence, that up, that presence of God in the tabernacle. Still was able to be there to land the promise. Hello? And I probably believe that it was just God's faithfulness and mercy. Nothing else. Mercy, and of course God had given Caleb and Joshua a word, amen, by the word of God and the word of God must be fulfilled, but it was mercy. It was mercy. It wasn't like they were good at that. You only went out to him. So likewise today, in spite of the almost universal disobedience and the natural covetousness in the church, the Lord will still have mercy. And He will still fulfill His word. And He will still bring His people into the promised land. The promised land, of course, was not to the perfection of chosen Christ and manifestation of the glory. Amen. I now do this by His mercy upon a twofold company. A company of the old God, represented by the Old Testament by Joshua and Caleb. Those whose eyes have not grown dim. Those whose faith will not abate. Those who will continue in God until they obtain the mountain that God has prepared for them. Amen? Amen? I don't know if there's any old God here. Hallelujah. We pray every word. Hallelujah. And then God is represented by Jesus and Caleb, amen. And then they give you a company of youths. Just like the over 20 entered into the promise. Not because they deserve it, but because God had mercy. Amen. Receive it. They're going to possess and have the promised land of perfection and the fullness of the Spirit without number. Manifest the good. Give me Isaiah 8, 18. Hello, somebody. Isaiah 8, verse 18. Thank you. Behold, Revelation, Spirit, behold, I, that's the old, and the children, that's the new guys, amen? Younger generation, hallelujah, the chapter generation, amen, thank you, sir. I love that word that you can speak to this, that book, chapter generation. I am the children whom the Lord has given me. In other words, there's an old book. What God has given that word, who have seen the promised land, and they are watching and do all that they must do to enter in. They love to. They are worried about what their physical bodies are saying. Tell me how God might perish. What they are working on is the inward man being renewed day by day. Amen. Nothing will hinder this body must enter the promised land. Not now. You have seen the Lord. Amen. And then followed by children. Those who are holy and children. Those who are looking unto Abraham and Sarah. The rocks will rest their feet. Said, these ones are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who cannot be seen. That's wrong. We talk about that later. Amen. Amen. So, children. What follow after the blessing, we follow after those who through faith and patience can inherit the promise. You will not turn back what you believe. Let me give one other verses for all of you. Now let's look at Psalm 120, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 120, verse 1. Hallelujah, somebody. Every day, tell us. There is a lot of us right here. The familiar verse we have. Speak down at thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of righteousness out of wrath. Rule them in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people, he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Talking about the young one. Do you have to fight? Hello, somebody. Understand it. Because the people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, and in the holy array out of the womb of the morning. To you will speak for your children who are as the dew. Hallelujah. And you say, why are you still doing it? What are you doing to us? But you come to look for them. You know what I'm talking about. There is one liturgy of the old public of old God, written by Joseph and Caleb, those who refuse to be daunted by what's going on in the physical bodies and their members who are watching only that we will be looked at the things that are not seen, watching the inside being renewed, knowing that somewhere along the line, God will have mercy on that body also will take on the continuation of glory. Amen? And then the younger who see the God will go, wow! And then they begin to follow it. And they begin to volunteer. Hallelujah. So, people enter the promised land with the tabernacle of Moses led by Joshua. Amen. And they want to hear about the Gentiles of the nations, the law of giving the Canaan, and to the town of King David. The study occurs to them. Every time they mention that Joshua, they start there, they start there, they start there. But the last group of people always be Jebusites. I'm ready over and over. You know, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Jebusites. But the last one is Jebusites. I don't even know who the Jebusites are. They're the ones that occupied Mount Zion until David lost their out by coming to the water steps. Hail David. You are going to overcome the Jebusites. And you will bless them out. And you will tell them Mount Zion. Amen. But we know the story. Saul was made king, but he rebelled against God, and because of rebellion and stubbornness, the king was instituted. The Bible says in Acts 7:46 for David, so he found favor before God and desired to build a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Oh, praise God. So he found favor. You will find favor before God in Jesus' name. And I desire to make your place a tabernacle for the habitation of God, according to the foundation of the prophets and the prophets and the the regiment that you come from, God will fulfill you the same. Amen? Kevin said, he said to me, I said, the Lord said, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man who has fulfilled all of my words. So, now, if I remember correctly, it was popular, the opinion on that, all the while, that Samuel and Saul women for about 2 years, that the ark of the Lord, which represented the kind of presence of God, was actually not in Jerusalem. He was at a place called Christ. Christ had Christ. He was back there. What happened was that the Philistines stole the ark, these people, and when he began to destroy them, they sent him back. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 6. Read me verse 19. And he smote the man. Now, this is the Lord now. So, when they stole the ark, they wanted to keep it, and God dies with them. Let me read that. So he smote the man of Bethsaida because they had looked into the ark, and he didn't look into the things of God. And he did this. Amen? You can also see the presence of God. That is your prayer to the whole thing. He sent the people 15,610 men, and the people lamented. Because all that sitting men are doing the grace of the next verse, the prince. And so, what do you do? And then Bishop said, who is able to stand before this holy God, and to whom shall he go up from us? His verse. And they sent messengers to the heavens of Kerjav, Jerim, saying, the Philistines are brought again, that is the recounted. The ark of the Lord, come ye down, oh, I'll send you down to you. The God's name are you then. Take verse. Who will be able to abide the burden of God? And the man of Kerjavim came and touched up the ark of the Lord and brought in the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. As the rising of the ark, Eleazar was there, this man. And he said, I've been really blessed with the presence of God inside his own house. Everything was that the work is so beautiful. That's what. That's good. This is where I'm going. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. While the ark of God in Kerjavim, for the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the houses, they are lamenting when they did not live out it. Hello, somebody. They were lamenting for 20 years and nobody moved. Come on, so I knew what it was. It must have been this thing. Everybody knew, but nobody moved. The glory was not the guy. Paul was more involved in giving himself honor before the people and being king and having made service and nice servants and doing all his house but not being in the world. 20 years. Paul also now, unto David, so also now a Davidic people have been raised that will fulfill all of God's will. We are poised to bring that glory back. That glory that has been lost from the acts of the apostles, all those things you see, what has it been lost? What is it? Here and there, amen? We're bringing it back. The glory is returning. Look at chapter 9, 11. Says, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Amos 9, 11. Very familiar verses. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches. Where is God's name? Who is that? Even when the tabernacle of David is there, we'll be preaching, but God will close them up. And make it a one whole people. And we'll raise up. And we'll raise up people. I will build it. That tabernacle, that dynasty of David, as in the days of old. Amen? God is in the Bible, says the glory of that house shall be greater than the former. Amen? And this place I'll give to God. When David stopped to restore the glory of God to Israel through a building of physical temples, so also now. A Davidic company is raising up a spiritual temple for the habitation of the Lord. Amen. And that temple that David built, or that Solomon did, pray, is going to be exceedingly magnificent and full of glory. Amen. But you guys are about to ask for the 7 verse 40 of the beginning of the temple. I talk to you against the hour. But instead, you ask for the 7 verse 40 and say, so be it, the Most High cannot not in temples made with hands. And the Lord comes to you quickly. And this particular verse. He says, Because this person has said, heaven is my throne, and the earth, next to it, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house, that's number one, what house will you build me? That's what you want. Then number two, or what is the place of my rest? Then number three, what house will you build me? The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? And what is the place of the house built in the heart? The minds, the wills, the emotions, and bodies of born again spiritual Christian in the body of Christ. Okay? That's what I call the body of Christ. You really have the body. Amen? But I can give you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Please. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 16. Hallelujah. So, what a people have that this is what we all know this particular position. You know, talking about being an inquiry of God, or being asked something here, the Lord said. So, what a people have the temple of God with idols. For what? We are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So, about the 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Says, 1 Corinthians 4, Corinthians 1, Corinthians, sorry, that's the second. 12 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Thank you. Hello, sir. Yeah, okay. Say what? Now, Paul is a part of you. You don't know this. What? Know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is part of God, and you are not your own. Do you read the scripture? So there, I don't know about this. Listen, you're not your own. Your body belongs to God. God made you for His habitation. His purpose is to inherit His love for you to fool around with. I'm not going to do this. Let's keep that in mind. Verse 7, please. Hello, Samuel. Come your back to the place. Therefore, glorify God in your body, through your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God. You are God to the cross. And the wrong thing is why do you prevent your bodies and living sacrifice? So your body and your spirit. That means to say, God belongs to God. So you cannot even harbor things in your mind, your will, and emotions that are contrary to God's will. Because that mind, that will also does not belong to you, it belongs to God. So let your spirit clean, present unto Him for holy cleansing by the Spirit. Did you say? You are the habitation of God. The place, the house we built for God is our minds and emotions. But the place where God can rest. You know, to be somewhere where someone wants. You know, you can go to a hotel and stay overnight, but it's not a place to rest. Now, God wants you to build a place that He will permanently abide in and He will not leave. You know, you can be found in life or something else. But that's what it says. God wants to rest you. That's it. On 7 days, he rested. He's looking for rest in you and I. But it's not just anybody that he can rest in. Hello? What you say? He said, with what or what is the place of our rest? Now, consider, in the physical temple, the place where God rested for the earth in the ark of glory was the most holy place where the presence of God is supposed to dwell in. Amen? Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, that when they put the ark there, after the temple of Solomon was built, they took out the stones so that they indicated that that was the resting place of God in the mountain. God was not going to leave there, the ark would no more leave. Amen? But, he said, the Lord does not dwell in the place He made the house. But we have a clue. His place of rest is Psalms 132. It is Psalms 132, verse 13. Please. Thank you, dear. Before you do. Psalms 132, verse 13. Come to Lord. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for His habitation. Catch that. Yes. This is all for you. This is my rest for everybody. Yes. Lord God, for I desire you. Zion represents the place of perfection and fullness. The body, the mind, the will, emotion, and the physical body completely and totally perfect. this is my problem. Tell me, never believe. Tell somebody, how would you like to be a place where God dwells 24/7, never more to me? Never more to that person. That's a good book of it. He is now the new salvation. Never more than 10 for me. To the result, to the rest, it's going to be a place of teaching of God by the Spirit in the hearts, the minds, the will, the emotions, and the physical body. The physical body of saints who have taken the time out to flush out the sin nature, using the blood of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, to flush out the sins out of the mind, the will, and the emotion, and the physical body, the body of the Father. So the total cleansing. So that Bible says, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says that, you know, that the life of God is manifest in our mortal flesh. So it's not just the mind, the emotion, very important, but also the mind, the mental issue, but in our flesh. That is the body that God will have to rest there permanently. How is the one last thing for the truth? When God was building the temple, or when David was building the temple, you know what was actually David that built the temple? It was Solomon. Hello? David was the man of God. God said to him, God, you said to my God. So, but your son, he's the man of peace. He will build my temple. The life of David, he will stand here, another son of David. Solomon was the son of David. Another son of David, but not Solomon, a great than Solomon. The Lord Jesus is building himself a perfect, spotless, silent church in the hearts, the minds, the will, the emotions, and the physical bodies of a people of people. And the glory is going to be manifested. It's about to Zion, the perfection of peace. God will shine in this day. It will be a magnificent temple. The whole world will come to see in you and in you what the Lord has done. This is our destiny. First and foremost, the Lord will be coming and help us to partake of His teachings.
Hallelujah. That was a wonderful word. You can see the history of the church, or rather the future of the church, embedded inside the history of Israel. And we are at a point in time in history and in the destiny of the church where these things are to be fulfilled, or are being fulfilled. They're imminent, actually. And so, I just want to emphasize to us the urgency of this time and the greatness of this truth that God has used His servant to bring to us. So, where will you build for me? What house will you build? What house? Where is the place of my rest? And the Bible gives us the answer. It is in Zion. A perfect church made up of members, individual members who have submitted themselves to the will of God and cooperating together have formed this temple that God will inhabit with His, the fullness of His glory. It struck me when Pastor Gil was preaching, when he says that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. They say, therefore. So whenever you say therefore in the Bible, you want to find out what it is therefore. Therefore. Because you've been bought with a price, therefore, to glorify God, two places, in your body as well as in your spirit. You can replace and paraphrase that by saying, God wants His glory to be manifest both in your body, right here, right now, and in your spirit. The spirit there is not, it's talking really about you, your inner man, talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. God wants His glory to be out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God has tried. And I believe with all my heart that we are right at the verge of that moment now. And I want each and every one of us, like Esther, she didn't understand it fully until later, but she had some degree of understanding, and it was Mordecai that, as it were, woke her up and alerted her to the great destiny that she was to fulfill. She didn't understand. She knew God had helped her get the temple to the palace. She had married the king, Ahasuerus. And he was, you know, when Mordecai came and was crying, and you know, he said, "Go and give him some clothes. Let him change. Why are you behaving like that?" Then Mordecai sent back to her and said, "This is what's happening." He said, "I do not know whether God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this." Mordecai had to tap on a sense of destiny. And I believe that this message to you for this Bible study, God wants us to use it to sharpen our sense of destiny. So you don't know that you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's very, very instructive to understand that when Haman was planning to kill all the Jews, and all that, very few people knew about it. Very few people, most people didn't know about it. But between Haman and the king, it was later on Mordecai got to find out what was going on, you know, and it wasn't until Esther. Esther herself was not very easily, you know, very responsive. But later on, after he now said, "If I pray, I pray, fast and pray, and run before the king," and then the king, you know, he showed her favor, and then he was not able to save the Jews. In the same way today, many of us are not fully aware of the urgency of the hour in which we're living in. We don't realize how urgent things are right now, and how we need to, as it were, like Esther, step up to the plate. She fasted and prayed for 3 days, symbolic. You know, 3 years, you know, praying in the spirit, all kinds of prayer to clean. And then she put on her garments as a queen. And then went before the king. In the same way, you and I today have to go before God and be like David. David said, "I will not rest. I will not rest until I have found a habitation to the mighty God of Jacob." Lastly, I will go pray. It's very instructive to mark our thinking. That ark was there. Nobody cared. Everybody talks about it, but nobody really cares. So long as they're eating and they're getting what they want and they're having what they want, nobody really cares that the glory of God is not manifesting inside the church. But the minute David became king, I think it's made to that he made that a priority. That he must bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And you and I need to have that same sense, as sons and daughters of David. That same sense of urgency. I must bring the glory of God. So therefore, glorify God. Your body and your thing of open up at the rapture. Therefore, glorify God. Let the glory of God, let it shine, let it be made manifest in your body and well as in your spirit. They also have this sense of urgency, they also have this sense of destiny, they also have this sense of responsibility. The ark would have just stayed there another 20 years. If David hadn't woken up, he said, "I'm just a big question from the ark." Let's turn to us here. Yes.
"I will not give sleep to my eyes. I'm not
Now the glorification, the manifestation of the glory of God in our physical bodies. Last week I was talking about, or the week before, the temporal resurrection of the physical body. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying. God wants to manifest in this mortal form. And in our mind, the will, the mind, the emotions, the glory of God, that all men will see it. The temple of Solomon, a greater than Solomon's here. The Bible tells that in the day of Solomon, people came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon, to see the temple. And when the queen of Sheba came, they told me I did not believe. He said, but when I came, he said, I didn't tell me half of it. The same thing is going to happen. Touch that body. Raise your hand. But God needs, he doesn't need a crowd. He just needs a bunch of people who will take it seriously and breakthrough. A blanket offering. That will just hit the threshold and breakthrough. Once they break through the rest of the people will start rushing, but at least they would have broken through. That's all God needs. So the temple, so nobody picked the temple. The glory, what's that? David had to say, I chose, because for the Lord chose them, baby. What did everybody do? Many of his guys went with him and they agreed with him. captain of thousands, they wouldn't bring the ark. They made a mistake. I thought when they were bringing it, you know, bring it on the Philistines' cart, and they changed it and brought it on the shoulders of the priests. But he turns that the king is done. Raise that hand. We're going to pray now, and I want to you're going to say, God, I'm going to be a part of that company. I'm going to bring the glory back to the church. What we read in the Acts of the Apostles. The power of Peter was healing people on the streets of Jerusalem. We have this stadium crusade mentality. That God can only do miracles when we are in a particular location, or in a particular stadium, or in a particular the church, or in a particular meeting, or silo, or camp, or somewhere. No. The glory of which we speak is going to be in the minds and in the hearts and the bodies of people. It will happen in your office. It will happen in the marketplace. It will happen on the road. That's the one. Put that hand up. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I say, clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I repent of every spirit of complacency as it concerns your glory. And Lord God, that you give my heart now a spirit of urgency. Like David, I say, I will not sleep. I will not rest. Oh my God! I will not be satisfied until I see your glory made manifest in this my physical body, in my mind, in an incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning abilities, incredible mathematical ability, that will your glory will shine forth to me for all the world to come and say, I will not be satisfied. Oh God, put in my heart that urgency that was in the heart of David, the urgency that was in the heart of Esther. Put it in my heart now. Oh God, let me be jealous for your glory. My God and my Father, I say, I determine my heart by your mercy and by your grace to continue and not to give up, to continue to use your blood, your word, and your spirit to clean out the sin nature from my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my body, so that your glory can shine forth through me as a part of your silent church in this hour, in Jesus' name. Let the call of us, let it be popular in heat to serve it. Love it up, popular in heat to this. So big it is on the call of us. Yeah, to popular in this. To the Makatu and Master, make a popular in heat to this. To the Nixie to popular in this. To the Mangara, to the Makatu. To the and the determination. There was a lot of argument that some folk would come from these people towns and this and that, you know. I want to believe what the Bible said. By the mercy of grace of God, I got back into the Holy Spirit. You heard my testimony, I actually spoke in Aramaic. I didn't know it was Aramaic, but later on somebody was telling me it was Aramaic, my roommate. But the important point I want to make is this. The supernatural evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by our speaking in tongues and its consequent revelation knowledge, and the life of God, the power of God in our body, we've experienced this all day long. So it's not something that we probably have to convince us about. This is true. One thing we got the full heart and get the fullness. We don't have to be told. We know it's true. What do we press on through? Like Paul said, I press toward the mark. And let's get the fullness. The fullness, it's there already. The book of the earth. But you know that. So we have the spirit without measure and have it granted, and then we suck everybody's mouth up. The Bible says that with well doing, you put to silence the ignorance of the prayer. Nobody can tell us that, you know, the things of the spirit are not true or they're not real. Where are you? Yes. Yes. This sense God wants to pass across. This sense of urgency. You know, God wants to pass across these people. Why is this mountain? God passed this mountain along here. We've come out of Egypt, we've seen the miracle, we've walked through the Red Sea. Now I will encourage you as a Christian, you know, take God's word seriously. We don't take God's word as seriously as we should. Things are not the purpose of Christianity. Now, I want to qualify that. Things are important. You need food on your table, you need to have a car, you need to have clothes, you know, all this is necessary. Jesus said, my father is not good of these things. Jesus said, but that's not where you go. Many people only come to church because they want to get something. And when they get that thing, there's no more determination. There's no more motivation. The Christianity now does not care. At least, you know, God has blessed me, I have what I want, I'm going to heaven. You must try David be drawn up with the community. The purpose of our Christianity goes far beyond God blessing us materially and physically. The material thing can have first. But that's not where we're going. What is the difference between you and any other person if you talk about your own life? People are not born again, have more money than you. Such people. Is it true? Is it true? And they are born again, they don't speak in tongues. They have all the money than you, they have the better car than you, they have better houses than you. What's the difference? The glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. That's the difference. That's the one you cannot buy with money. That's the one that brings us money. God is with you. And let that be. So you tell the story. You don't tell God that I will not be satisfied. So when I'm coming to on Tuesday to fast and pray all night, and I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying in life, I'm not getting too, I'm not beating, I'm one of these fighting or something, I'm going to go. And I will not give up. I will not stop until I see that glory. I'm going to see it in my body, I'm going to see it in my mind, in this lifetime. That is the kind of mentality that warrior 21st century
warrior mentality that God wants to pass it from us to the church. And for the thing that was teaching us, you know, most people take care of competition. When you want it more than you want anything else in this world, when it's more important to you than your degree, than your natural business, than all the widow, than the wife and the husband and uncle, and nothing but what? You know, there's something that powers in our hearts. This is important. This is the most important thing. Rome was the God of God. It's a plan of great price. Not so tough, this you got empty. Let your life be directed to what is one thing you might desire. And that will stand up. The glory of God. God bless you.